الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي دروشي پنه Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. Alhamdulillah, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have completed the history and significance with regards to the main pillars located in the Rawza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also the mihrab of Rasulullah, also the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the last session we covered the history on the minarets of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also the dome, the green dome, Ghummat-e Khidra. The most important aspect, or the most important and most precious area in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the area in which Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting. In fact, it is not just precious. There is nothing on the face of this earth that is greater in virtue than the Rawza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fazilat of the Rawza is even greater than Khana-e Kaaba, the walls of Kaaba. That is the exact place where Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting with his two companions, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. After the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was the greatest mufti, the greatest companion, the one who is titled as A'lam, the most learned from all the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is why he was honored with Khilafat. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an had issued a fatwa right at that critical moment, and he said that Sami'tu, I have heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, لَنْ يُقْبَرَ نَبِيٌّ إِلَّا حَيْثُ يَمُوتُ, that it is not jais for anyone to lay down, to rest any prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but only in that area where death comes to him. That is why the bedding, the mattress of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was removed, and exactly on that spot Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala an dug up the grave of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again to fulfill the commandments, the hukm of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was just with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. So where Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting, that is the hujra, the chamber of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. In Madinatul Munawwara, the Mu'arrikheen say that there were two most experienced grave diggers. MashaAllah, and that is again great khidmah. Even today, if you go to Jannatul Baqi, you will see men who are very experienced in this, and not young, quite old in age. And it is their responsibility to dig up the graves. In Islam, we have the two methods of digging up the grave. One is the straightforward one, straight down. And the other one is known as the lahad, and in Urdu it is known as bagli shakal kabar. when the hole is dug, then right at the end there is again another small chamber that is there, just enough for the mayyit to slip in, and again then it is covered with any other material, be it clay or whatever. That is also masnoon in Islam. And Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala an was a professional in digging up graves which are known as Lahdiya. And Hazrat Ubaidat ibn Jarrah Ghaliban, it was him who was a specialist in the other style of the grave. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an says that I had sent someone for both of them, and I prayed that whoever comes first, insha'Allah ta'ala, he will have the choice to dig the grave of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I say that with great respect, though there are other words in the Urdu language or also in the Arabic language that are suitable when it comes to the description of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nevertheless, it was not Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, it was Hazrat Abu Talha radiyallahu ta'ala an, and he came and he dug up the grave of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ab sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, and Ab sallallahu alayhi wasallam's age was 63, isn't he? Close to him, his partner Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, his companion Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, because it was the room of Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. When Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu passed away, straight away Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha had already reserved an area for the father, and this was done without any form of ikhtilaf. None of the companions would have any ikhtilaf in that decision because of the lofty status that Hazrat Amirul Mu'mineen Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had. And the grave, the qabr of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is not parallel to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because none can come close to the status of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Imam is Imam and he is always in the front, and Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam is the Imam, Imam al-Awwaleen wal-Akhireen, Sayyidul Awwaleen wal-Akhireen. That is why approximately one cubic behind Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, another grave was dug up, and again in the same sequence. This grave was also Al-Ahad, and it was dug up, and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an was put down to rest in that area. It is said that the head of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an comes to the shoulders of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, very, very close to Huzur alayhi salatu wasallam, very close. The reason for that, the Mu'arrikheen have also said that the chamber, the room of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was very, very small. We have that very famous riwayat when Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam would perform tahajjud. Many times he would have to nudge Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she would understand that now Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam is in sujood. And she would improvise and then move on one side to let Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam make sajda with ease. So the room was very, very small. So that was the area given to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha. Then came the time of the imarat given to Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an, again, wallahi lazeem, my respected brothers, if we touch on the seerah of Sayyidina Umar Farooq, one can continue not for months, for years. 4 years of his contribution. SubhanAllah. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an's dua, many dua he made, mashallah. But one of his dua, which is recorded in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh, he would lift up his hands and say, Ya Allah, give me death in the city of your beloved Prophet. Let me die in Madinatul Munawwara. But with this dua, he also mentioned in the state of shahadat. the position of shahadat, a shaheed, that darja of shaheed should also be given to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua. The brothers remember that when Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on one of the mountains in Madinatul Munawwara, and Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hira, alaykum bis sakina, why are you shaking, quaking? Subhanallah, who can defy that moment which is described in the Quran when Allah says, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا, when the earth will be shaken up in its full force, وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا, it will throw out its burden out, بوج باهر, وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا, insan will say, what has happened to this earth? يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا, and the earth will speak out at that time. In Iran, completely wiped out, one shot, 40,000, 50,000 people, completely flat. Subhanallah. This is Ibrat. Inna fi dhalika la ibra. This is Ibrat for the people. Who can reject what Allah has mentioned in the Quran? Idha shamsu kuvirat, wa idha nujum kadarat. Everything will crumble away. Everything is flattened. That is why when the kuffar were talking amongst each other and saying, do you think the day of Qiyamah will come? And Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, this ayat kareema was revealed, عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَإِ الْعَظِيمِ أَلَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. They make ikhtilaf on the day of Qiyamah. They make ikhtilaf on the day of Qiyamah. كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادَ. This beautiful carpet, earth, Subhanallah. And this is Ibrat, my respected brothers. Today, our dastarkhan, the food, the variety of food that we eat, we waste, Subhanallah, so many things of the blessings of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Rice ko phenk diya. Boti, gosht, usko phenk diya. Pani, usko phenk diya. Subhanallah. And you look in Iran where this earthquake has taken place. No food, no nothing. Subhanallah. We must make qadr of all the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So it was Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, and he made dua that shahadat, that status of being a shaheed, Allah must bless him with this title. And Allah accepted his dua. It is said that in the early hours of the morning, when Hazrat Umar Farooq was preparing for his Fajr Salah, Abu Lu'lu, who was not a Muslim, he was the slave of Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'ba radiallahu ta'ala, and he was hiding behind the mihrab. There was no mihrab where Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala and would stand and perform his Salah. It was dark, and Hazrat Umar Farooq was there. And he came with this two-sided blade, sharp, prepared. And he was very skillful. And he was waiting for the right moment. And Hazrat Umar Farooq, when he says, Allahu Akbar, that is the time he struck a blow at Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, and injury was caused all over the face. In fact, the forehead split open. And Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala fell unconscious. Allahu Akbar. And even falling unconscious, subhanallah, what are his words? He says, lift me up, meri namaz qaza na ho jaye. Lift me up, I have to perform salah. Lift me up quickly, let me perform my salah. This was the importance of every rule, be it sunnah, be it mustahab, be it farz. The companions are there, shocked, what has happened? Amirul Mu'mineen Umar Farooq on the floor. The sufuf has broken, everyone is there. And he's there saying, don't touch me. Pray your salat, qaza ho jayi. He says, what will happen to me? Nothing. Your namaz, You must not miss out from your salat. Subhanallah. And they lifted him up. But Hazrat Umar Farooq had no strength. And he lived for a few days. But the blow he took was so severe and so deep that that was the cause of his death. And this was the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him also. Shahadat was given to him, and also his wish that death should come to him in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he took that blow, some of the close companions that were there, Hazrat Umar Farooq called one of the companions close and whispered to him in the ear, tell me, who is the one who did this to me? And after finding out, they said, Hazrat, it is Abu Lu'lu, the slave of Mughira bin Shu'bah. And he said, Alhamdulillah. What did he say? Alhamdulillah, that it is not a Muslim that did this to me, but a non-Muslim, a kafir who did this to me. It would have given me a lot of pain if it was a Muslim who did that. Or kisi ki kismat hi phuti hui ho, Hazrat Umar Farooq ki tarah jari insan ko koi chhuye. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. And during that period of time, his son, again one of the great muhaddith of the time, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, one of the main narrators of the hadith, Hazrat Umar Farooq would call him and say, look, do me a favor, go to Ummahatul Mu'minin, Ummul Mu'minin Aisha, and tell her I wish to rest with my companion Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala and came, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and her said to him that I had reserved this one place for myself, but there is no one more worthy for this place than Amirul Mu'minin Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. The taqwa of Hazrat Umar Farooq was such that even when Hazrat Abdullah came to him and said, Father, permission has been given to you, he said to the son that maybe because I am an Amir, maybe that awe, that fear is there of Umar Farooq, maybe she is even shy to say no to me. Do me a favor, my son, when my ruh comes out, departs from this body, go again and ask Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that is she still of the same opinion, and if she says yes, then bury me with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would cry and weep. And then later on she said that when I die, make sure you don't bury me in the chamber, in the area where Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar Farooq are resting. Bury me with the other wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Baqi'. In Jannatul Baqi'. That was her wasiyah. Nevertheless, when Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala and passed away, subhanallah, that last third place that was there in the hujra of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given to him. And we talk about this ikhtilaf, ma'azallah, that Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an had with Hazrat Umar Farooq, and Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an had with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, and there was this ikhtilaf of Hazrat Uthman with Hazrat Ali. These are the munafiqeen who say that. These are the munafiqeen. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala an says that when Hazrat Umar Farooq passed away, the body of Hazrat Umar Farooq was in front of us. All the companions had surrounded the body of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an, and Hazrat Ali was there. Ibn Abbas says radiyallahu ta'ala an that he was crying, and I came close to Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an was making a dua, something to the effect that, oh Allah, nothing stops me from coming to you, nothing stops me from coming to you, but only if you bless me with those deeds that you had given the tawfiq, the ability to carry out, which became the good deeds of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an. If I am in that position, then I would be prepared to come to you even now. They would envy the a'mal of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala. This was his darja, envy, subhanAllah. The amal of Hazrat Umar Farooq. And he cried and he said that I remember all the time when even if Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar Farooq were not present in front of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, Absalallahu alayhi wasalam would remember them. Absalallahu alayhi wasalam would say with regarding to some matter that yes, I, Muhammad and Mustafa, have faith in this, believe in this, also Abu Bakr and also Umar Farooq. But yet they were not there. Absalallahu alayhi wasalam would account for them. Even if they were not in front of him, he would say, I believe in it, so Abu Bakr Siddiq believes in it, and also that Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala believes in it. This was the love that Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for both of them, and that is why, alhamdulillah, it is a great honor for us that we are of the maslak of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us death in that condition, in this Sahihul Aqeedah, MashaAllah, tarteeb, that we love all the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said that there is no other person that deserves to be close to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam but Siddiq Akbar and Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. This is again a brief history with regards to the Rawza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But I want to go a bit more deep into the subject of exactly how the Rawza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam looks like. Inshallah, if brothers can just bear with me. So, it's on this side, that's right. Yeah. One mas'ala is that the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very basic, very, very simple. When we go to the maqbara now, we have a lot of people who like to decorate the qabrs and a lot of things. I don't think that is jaiz. It should be simple, the name, information, birth, everything should be there. And that is enough. Some form of mark to indicate that someone is resting here. That is the tazdeeb. Like when you see, that, like if brothers have been to Jannatul Baqi, the qabr is very, very simple. They don't have a name there because one of the tazdeebs of Madinatul Munawwara is that anyone who comes there, and if death comes to him in that city, and mashallah, this honor is given to him that he is put to rest in Madinatul Munawwara. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give jazai khair to the Saudi authority. At least that much of a favor they do to us. So a lot of our buzrugani deen, shuyukh are still resting there. Hazrat Qasim bin Muhammad bin Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and says that in the early days, I went to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and said to her that I want to come into the hujra and greet Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers must remember that Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the two companions are resting on the northern section of the hujra, the chamber of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would live on the southern side of her hujra. And there was no screen or any form of partition when Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam was there and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, she would say clearly that it is my husband and my father. But when Hazrat Umar Farooq came, straight away, immediately, she did not rest until the companions came. MashaAllah, they formed a partition, complete partition, so that there is a separate barrier for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and also if she had to go into the area where Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam is resting, is through another route. This was done during the time of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. It is said, the Mu'addikhina said, when the people were digging up the grave of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, the physique and the height of Hazrat Umar Farooq was such that the legs were coming out from the chamber of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. The leg, from the eastern side, the legs were coming out. That is why Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had covered it by a screen, whatever it may be, properly from the front side and also from the eastern side, because of the height of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Qasim bin Muhammad bin Abu Bakr says that when I saw the grave of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was very, very simple. No solid material was used, no like cement or some form of bricks, nothing. It was just plain simple dust, and that is mustahab. The amount of dust or whatever it may be that you take out, it is mustahab to return the same amount in there. We have nowadays, Marana Dawood Sahab, again we were talking about it recently on the subject of how kafan dafan should be done. And he said that I've seen people now, what they do is when the mayyat is carried to the area where they have to bury him or her, what happens is that you have a man in the front and he lifts up the mayyat, putting the pressure on the head, and there's one also behind. And that is not the right tartib. The tartib is that it should be on the shoulder. That is fine. You don't lift up someone like that. And that is not ihtiram of the mayyat. Allama Samhawi, rahmatullah alayh, in the year 878 Hijri, he gives an eyewitness account. He says that when I saw the Rawza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was not very high up. In fact, it was slightly lifted up from the ground, equivalent to one span only. One span. And that is how it should be. We should not have all these fancy coverings on top. And again, if we have that, we are opening the doors of bid'ah. We are opening the doors of bid'ah. So we have to be extremely careful when it comes to the hujra of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This here is the outside metal casing, which is a see-through casing. The main rawza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is inside. Before we go into this explanation, we'll just go talk about the metal casing that is there outside the hujra of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The first man to put this covering, this casing in and around the chamber, the rawza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was Shah Sultan Ruknuddin in the year 668 Hijri. Sultan Ruknuddin. And at that time everything was made out of wood. And the second person again was by Shah Zainuddin in the year 694 Hijri. Then later on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give jazai khair to Sultan Shah Qutaybai and the Egyptians that were there. He has done a lot for Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the year 888 Hijri, he is the first one to put metal as a covering and a casing for the hujra of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which in the Arabic language is known as Al-Maqsura. What is it known as? Al-Maqsura. It is see-through. And until today, alhamdulillah, more than 600 years, what we see today is the work of this great king, Sultan Shah Qutaybai, rahmatullah alayh. Even the Saudi government has not done anything to that. Even the Ottoman Empire, when the Turks were ruling, they haven't touched anything of that. That is the original part for security. It's all metal, strong metal. But it is see-through. Going back into the hujra of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there are four doors to it. Four doors to it. One is exactly where we give salatu wassalam to Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam. When we come from Babu Salam and come out from the other exit, if you notice, there is one small door just there when you stand to send salam it might be difficult for you. I mean, is it okay? Make sure the safety of Hazrat Musa bhai is important. No, leave it down. And when we give salam here, there is one door here. That door again is sealed. Normally what happens, you have a lot of the police people standing in this area when you are giving salam. But if you notice, there is a small door. And this door is known as Babu Tawbah. And it was given a gift by Sultan Ahmed Awal Uthmani in the year 1026 Hijri. This was a gift given to the Rawza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam by that king. And then we have another door here which is known as Babe Wufud. So if you open this door, one has entry to go inside. And another door is about here approximately. And the fourth door is known as Babe Fatima on the eastern side of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this door is very, very important. The rest of the doors have been sealed up permanently. There is no entry, it is locked up. The only entry and exit is through the door of Babe Fatima. So if an honorable person comes to give salatu wassalam to Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam, some king, president of any Muslim country, or some scholars, shuyukh, if they come, usually what happens, this door opens up for them and they enter from Babe Fatima inside, and they can walk as far up to the main section, the main chamber, the five-sided wall, which is known as Al-Ha'iz Mukhammasa. So basically they can go in and out until this area. That is why a lot of brothers who have the strength to look through the case, the covering that is there, you will notice that there is also a cloth like behind, that is like a cover. Like we have a ghilaf of Kaaba, you also have another ghilaf that is covering that part of the wall. Now that ghilaf is covering this section of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, where Abu sallallahu alayhi wasalam is resting. The hujra itself, the rawza itself, is this section. Absolutely. Abu sallallahu alayhi wasalam is resting here. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is here. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala is here. And in this area, this space is reserved for Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And this was well known with the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Mukhammasa, this wall, again, was first built by Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala an in the year 91 Hijri. In the year 91 Hijri. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him jazai khair. One thing brothers must remember, that with these five-sided wall, the mu'arrikheen have said that from this side to this side, it is about 16 meters. From south to north, east to west, from this side to this side, it is about 15 meters. On this side is 16 meters. Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala is the first one to build the walls around the Rawza, around the area where Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam is resting. There are no doors to it, no windows to it. There is no entry to it. It is completely sealed. So no one basically has any view of the qabr itself. After doing tahqeeq in the websites, there are some pictures that are there given and that show that this is the rawza and the qabr of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam. Majority of the contemporary scholars say this is false, it's not right. Nobody has gone in that area where Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam is resting. The only access to the rawza and to the area where Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam and where the companions are resting is that on the top section of the wall near the rooftop, there is a hole there, surah hai surah, and that is the only access that a person can see the Qabr Mubarak of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the Mu'arikhin have said that with the dome there is another hole and sunlight goes through. Wallahu ta'ala alam. But after studying the history kitab, that is the only one area of access where one can have if he is to see something. And nobody has been given that opportunity to see the area. In fact, I think the lucky one was Allama Barzanji Rahmatullah Alayh. Allama Barzanji Rahmatullah Alayh, in the year 1296 Hijri, with Shaykh al-Haram, he was the only one to climb up the roof of where Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting, and to see from that hole, that area where Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting. Even he says that he could not view the exact scene of how everything looked like, because there was again another material that was put on top. So it was not clear for him. Some of the Buzrugani Deen who have seen in the early days, who have been no doubt, that they say that the minute you enter into the Maqsura and come close here, the fragrance that comes out, it is something that one has never ever experienced. And this is the call of all the shuyukh, of all the Buzrugani Deen that have been there. So when we talk about those who are responsible to look after the hujra, when they go inside and when they clean, basically what happens is that they enter from Bab-e Fatima and they go as far as this area. Perhaps when Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala comes, okay, should I put it down? And when Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu was salam comes, only at that time one of the walls here, the five-sided walls, will have to be opened up, and very close to Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala in this area, the empty space that is there, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu was salam will be buried. Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala is a question mark, that why five-sided wall? Why is it mukhammas? Why not four? Why not four? There is a square wall inside, a four-sided wall, but the outside is a five-sided wall. Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala did not want to give it the face of a Kaaba, in case people start to do tawaf, in case people start to prostrate, in case people start to make sujood in that area. So instead of it being four-sided, Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala, and with the firasat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, he made this area, the walls, a five-sided wall. There have been some of the shuyukh in the olden times when this wall was not there, or perhaps this wall was there and there was an entry. There was an entry by one of the walls. Wallahu a'lam. But right now, the historians of Madinatul Munawwara say that there is no exit entry to the Rawza itself, and that is clear, except for that one hole. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give jazai khair to Sultan Nasiruddin rahmatullah alayh, who was again a very, very great buzrug. Allah wala. And the khidmat that he did is that, like how there is a covering on the top side where of the hujra of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he did is that he dug a hole covering the Rawza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all around and put strong metal sheets inside. So what happens is that the Rawza is sealed from the top and also from underground. It is completely sealed. Why? There were those who were the enemy of not just Islam, but the enemies of Ma'adallah, Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in, and who have no respect for Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In history, in the past history, there have been cases, inshallah, we haven't got time, Maybe in the next session we will talk about that. A lot of events have taken place when tunnels have been made from outside Medina, outside the masjid in Madinatul Munawwara, to go into the Rawza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And some have come very, very close. And that is why Sultan Nasiruddin Zangi, rahmatullah alayhi, what he did is that he has sealed the Rawza. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam's Rawza is completely sealed from the top and also from the bottom. So there is no way also anyone can go from under the ground and can penetrate those strong metal sheets that the khidmah he has done in his time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him jazai khair. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Just before we end the session, I just want to read in front of you some of the hadith of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the coming of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, especially in the times that we live in. Qadianis are around us and they are very strong in their mission. Hazrat Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Qala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Yanzilu Isa ibn Maryam ila al-ard. Isa alayhi salatu wa salam will come down to earth. Fayatazawwaj, he will marry. وَيُولَدُ لَهُ, he will have children. وَيَمْكُثُ خَمْسًا وَعَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً, he will stay in this world for approximately 45 years. ثُمَّ يَمُوتُ, then maut will come to him. فَيُدْفَنُوا مَعِيَ فِي قَبْرِهِ, فَيُدْفَنُوا مَعِيَ فِي قَبْرِهِ. These are clear words of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, and he will be buried very, very close to me. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, ma'iyya, with me in my rawza where I am resting. So there is no proof for those people who reject, ma'azallah, the coming of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam. We even get those people who talk on the subject of khatme nabuwat, astaghfirullah al-azim, that this ayat kareema, ma kana muhammadun aba ahadim min rijalikum walakin rasulullah wa khatam al-nabiyyin, and they say that this word is ambiguous, astaghfirullah al-azim. The word khatam has got a lot of meanings. This is shaitan, and this in some cases enough for any mufti to declare that person a kafir if he is saying that without a valid reason. That is why Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala and says, Man ankara khuruj al-mahdi faqad kafar. Anyone who rejects and denies the coming of Imam al-Mahdi, faqad kafara. He has done kufr. He has done kufr. Kufr is ego, can it? He has done kufr. And this is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A lot of people reject the coming of Imam al-Mahdi. وَمَنْ أَنْكَرَ نُزُولَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ فَكَدْ كَفَرْ. And anyone who rejects or denies the coming of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he is also a kafir in that category of kufr. وَمَنْ أَنْكَرَ خُرُوجَ الدَّجَّال فَكَدْ كَفَرْ. And anyone who rejects and denies the coming of Dajjal himself, the great magician, even he has done kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that our iman becomes strong and we believe at face value every and each word of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Yaha ek aur hadith bhi hai, inna Isa lam yamut wa innahu raji'un ilaykum qabla yawm al-qiyamah. Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, death has not come to him, and verily he shall come to you, as in come to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qabla yawm al-qiyamah, before the day of qiyamah. That is our aqeedah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaah. Durushi Palli. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin nabiy al-ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min al-zalimin. Allahumma inna nasaluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka abduka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adhaka minhu nabiyyuka abduka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Sami'na wa ta'ana gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika ya rahman.